Welcome to QTPOC Talks, your podcast for queer and trans art, media, and collective healing. Hey listeners, it's me, Owl Rare, and I just wanted to thank you all so much for taking the time to be a part of the growing community QTPOC Talks. It's been a while since I've posted, and even so, you all have stayed faithful and continued listening and sharing with the community. This podcast originally started as a Facebook Live show, pre-pandemic era, while I was living in Richmond, Virginia. Hustling and often struggling to support myself as an artist, over time I noticed that a lot of the artists glorified and honored in mainstream media were straight, white, and identified as a cisgender given at birth. Not to knock any other artists, but as queer and trans people, we crave for idols and elders to look up to. We yearn to know that there is someone else in the world going through something similar, and to know that there is the option to keep pushing through with strength and love. To stand authentically in our divinity, power, and truth, the point of QTPOC Talks podcast is radical LGBTQIA+ empowerment, empowering us all to move toward a world of progressive change, a world where we see more Black and Brown, Two-Spirit, and trans people in positions of power. Many of us are artists shaping the trends of fashion, art, and culture around the world, reminding humanity that gender has no binary, and creating a better world for our collective futures. And that's the thing. For many of us, we finally live in a time where we can have a future, a time where we have a voice. And I plan to use this podcast to continue to protect our collective truth. To start off the new year, I'm so excited to spotlight Terrell Cherry. Currently living in ATL, Georgia, Terrell describes himself as a multidimensional modern mystic, intuitive tarot reader, manifestation expert, and a community builder. The tools they use are a sacred combination of magic and science, offering hypnotherapy to shift subconscious mind programming and meditative breathwork to tap into the energetic body. Terrell is here to help people tap into their inner strength in order to create a life they love. Terrell, tell us some more about yourself.
Hey, what's up? I'm excited to connect. I am, you know, it's like, tell us a little bit about yourself. And I find that kind of challenging because I've been all over the place, but I'm currently living in Atlanta and I am a mindset and manifestation coach. So I do hypnotherapy, meditation, breath work, and I really like helping people break through subconscious blocks. I want people to see just like, you know, the reality of their lives and helping them understand that they can shift and create new things for themselves.
Wow. So you consider yourself like a multidimensional modern mystic. Tell
Absolutely.
Us more about, like, so is that embodied in like all of the practices that you're doing with people? Or is it kind of like, Do you reserve that mostly for the QTPOC community? How do you share your mysticism with the world?
I mean, I feel like where I'm headed towards now is really being more available to BIPOC, you know, bodies. And currently where I'm at, it's really, I share it with anybody. I think inclusion is really important for me. And what I want to do, you know, in my life is have people who were like me when I was younger, I would love for them to have, you know, access to the version of me now so that they don't have to struggle and go through all of the, you know, the craziness of life and how we've been programmed and conditioned. So that's really what my intention is. But currently right now, I'm available for anybody. anybody who wants to grow.
I love that. I think that it's super important to be available and an open resource for everyone, but also to hold space and having an awareness of like, there's a little me out there that needs a role model. You know, there's not as many queer role models out there. So when I saw you on Instagram, I was like, oh snap, there's another queer Black spiritual person
doing the work out here, like helping people like shift and change their lives. And, you know, I was following you on my old account and then something happened with that and I had to make a new one or whatever. But, you know, I still keep seeing your stuff every day. And I love that, like the gratitude list that you made for people to journal with. Did you want to talk some more about that for people at home that might want to hear about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, first I want to recognize you as well. I think, you know, I have been connecting with more queer, spiritualists, you know, and, especially brown boys. And I think that's really super important. We don't see a lot of us running around. So I'm glad that we're able to connect and that my work has resonated with you. And, you know, the gratitude list is something that I have to remind myself of a lot. You know, even this morning, I was going down the list of things that weren't going well. And it was just like, you know, oh, the train is 15 minutes late. I'm going to be late like I was. And then I had to just remind myself that, like, things are actually really good. You know, life isn't as bad as I can make it seem like a lot of the times. And so I went down and started, you know, mentally going down and creating a gratitude list of the stuff that I was happy about and grateful for. And what changed, what really shifted from that moment to moment. Now this is again, like, real time. This happened at like 8 a.m. this morning. What shifted was my energy, right? Like, immediately my energy shifted. I stopped. I didn't feel the need to kind of like harp on the fact that what I was waiting, you know, and creating new stories about the future. And I think that's what, when you're able to get present and start really focusing on gratitude, right? You shift your energy, one, but then you stop that negative feedback loop that I think a lot of us get stuck in, you know. And it's just it's a really good practice to center, ground, and reset.
I love that. It's super hard for some of us to kind of like get into our presence and like focus. And I feel like writing things down really helps you to like create that shift, especially as a writer. The negative feedback, man, I'll tell you, like, yesterday my space heater went out, and it's, you know, I'm in California. Everyone's like, oh, it's always hot there. But it was freezing cold last night. It was like dropping to like the low 50s. And for here, the 50s actually feels cold because it's like the desert and it's at night and there's like this cold wind coming in. And my house has no heat because it's, you know, everyone's like, it's California. So last night I was just so angry and all these negative thoughts were coming into my mind, all these negative thoughts. And even earlier in the day, I like woke up that morning and I had all these negative thoughts coming into my space, like into my head, like depressive things keeping me from like getting out the house. And then it turns into anxiety. And a lot of the times I need to stop that negative feedback. And my way of doing it sometimes is for the space heater, it was cursing out the space heater. And then I threw it outside and I was like, duh. And then I like took a deep breath and I was like, okay, like I don't need to like embody that all the time, but I think it's also good for me to like let it go, channel whatever like rage that I have and to feel that rage and to like process that rage, in a healthy way. That was healthy-ish, you know, it could have been probably a little bit more healthy than like screaming at the space heater, but it helped me to get past the negative stuff. It helped me to like, to talk myself into, okay, let me put on some more layers. I know how to do this. Let me get two socks on. Let me get whatever I need on. And then let me go to bed soon, because when I go to sleep, I'll be fine. You know, like I'll be under the cover.
Exactly. So,
I think it's super important, yeah, to like change the script, to, you know, be like, whoa, what's going on? Like, process these negative things in a healthy way if you can, and then move forward in a positive way.
I think I love that you dropped in that, you know, yeah, sometimes you have to let that emotion out, right? Sometimes you have to release the anger or the frustration. Yes, I mean, I also had to release a scream, you know, like I love that. I love releasing like a yell. If you can just like really shout when you feel frustrated or you feel angry and you can just release that energy, it helps to expand. And it helps bring you back, right, into your body maybe or into the moment. So I do think that's really important. And I love that, you know, doing it in healthy ways that, yeah, I'm an only child, so I learned a long time ago. I don't break my own stuff. But, like, if it's already broken and you're done with it, then you're done with it. You know, so I don't throw anything I've never been one to like throw my phone up against the wall because I knew that eventually I'd have to be the one to go buy a new phone. But I think, yeah, I really love that doing what helps you, right? Get through that emotion. Gratitude listing isn't bypassing any negative emotion, right? But it's reframing. And I think that's something that's an important practice, to reframe in the moment, even when things aren't going according to plan. Can I stop for just a second instead of like dissecting all of the stuff in my life that I feel like is going wrong and really feeding that energy? Can I just like halt for a moment and reroute, right? Because I want to feel as good as possible whenever, you know, I don't want to sit in my stickiness for too long. So I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I love what you're saying too, like the reframe. Like when you say reframe, do you mean like to change the way that we respond or to find better ways to respond over time that, you know, so we don't have to like break things sometimes, or so we don't have to, you know, get to a point where like we even feel that angry? Is there like, you know, a stage where like, you know, something happens and we can just be like, you know what? I'm okay. That's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've noticed, especially with myself in practicing mindfulness and meditations and things like that, you know, me talking myself back down, has been really, really beneficial. And when I say reframe, it's just like, often, you know, like, I don't know, when things aren't showing up for you, right? When you're feeling disappointed or you're feeling unsupported and you just like feel like things aren't going your way. How can we your thinking creates that emotion, right? So you're looking at an experience and you're saying, this is what's happening. You're dialoguing with yourself and saying, this is what I see, and so this is how it's making me feel. And from those emotions, right, you take action, depending on what that action is. And so if you're able to reframe, and like you said, you know, you say, I'm going to be okay. I got this. Okay. I had to let that out. I had to let that moment out. But now I know what I need to do, and I'm going to get through this night, right? I'm going to put some socks on. I'm going to bundle up. I'm going to go to bed, right? Because I love when I go to sleep, nothing's bothering me. When you're able to really reframe that, you change your emotional state, right? And if you change your emotional state, then your behaviors begin to change. And once you get that, once you really start to understand that cycle, if you can start from the thought process, right, you automatically already change a behavior. And if the behaviors are the issue, if your behavior is really causing some trauma or drama in your life, like, why not reframe and why not try to think differently and feel differently?
Yeah, and break those generational curses that mama and daddy or whoever raised you, you know, gave us. Because, you know, spending time with my mother this week, she's in town. And I already know that, like, from our relationship, we benefit the most from space, even when we're close together. So I was like, Mom, let's get a hotel. Let's, you know, and finding ways to, again, also make sure that we are protecting our future selves, you know, like, so how do we make sure that we don't get to maybe that place too, where we are like triggered constantly or whatever. And like, yes, sometimes it's good to be triggered because then we can grow, but also, you know, learning about ourselves from meditation. I really learned about myself, learned about my family, learned about, you know, like, we are very different, but also the same, you know, and there's so much there's still like so much work that needs to be done. And like, I feel like a lot of our families, you know, a lot of curses that need to be broken, and some won't be broken by other people in our family, but by us, you know, by us that are awake to the fact that they exist. And maybe by sharing them with other people, they can also find freedom. But it's hard to have that conversation, you know, with people, especially depending on like their mental health and what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I want to know,
Their level of consciousness, right? Like, they can only meet you where they're, where their level is. And so that, that can be really challenging.
Yeah. And, you know, working to not go down to their level, but working to let them meet you where you're at. And, you know, it takes time for people to get there, and some people might not get there. And, you know, learning that and being accepting of that, and also not holding pressure to like, oh, I have to make sure everyone gets enlightened. Like, I think it's being open to knowing that, like, you are here to help guide people, but you're not here to help make people, you know? Like, you're not here to make people anything. You can't. Like, it's up to them, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So
I wanted to know, like, how has being calm showed up in your life in a way that might have, like, saved your life or helped you, help the future you?
How has being calm helped me?
Mm-hmm. Like, is there an instance where, like, you know, you were about to get really angry or something, and then your practice came in, and maybe it saved your life, or maybe it saved you from something? Yeah, like, is there any instance where, like, you know, you can vouch for, like, all right, this calm lifestyle has helped me?
I can't say, like, if anything has, you know, I've never really been... I can't say if it's, like, saved my life, but it's actually, it's changed, like, relationships for me, which I maybe that's, you know, saved my life. I think, especially with the relationship with my mom, you know, we struggled a lot in the past, and I realized, or am realizing, that the more I am able to stay calm, right, the more that I'm able to really just sit back and think about the experience that I want to have, I can begin to see my mom for, like, I guess who she is, and honor that and not have to change anything about her. And, I can be me, right? I'm not reverting back to old patterns or, letting my nervous system take over, where I'm not able to speak the way that I want to, you know, or articulate myself in the way that I want. I think that's been really beneficial, and that's one of the biggest things that's changed for me and within my relationship with my mom. And I think that's why our relationship has changed so much.
I love that. And that's like a big shift. Like, when I changed the relationship with my mother too, I was like, whoa, I think I'm doing the work. Like, I can, like, this would never have happened, like, if I didn't start this path. We would have just, who knows what, where we would have been, you know, like, in our relationship if I didn't just start doing the work of even myself, just, you know, accepting. And she did the work too, to be honest. Like, she had to open up and accept, and, you know, she's like, you're going to wear lipstick. And I remember as a kid, you know, I would wear her heels and her wig and walk around the house. And she was like, no, 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 no. Like, that's for girls. And that trauma, you know, it stayed with me. But to see the transition, like, in adulthood, where, like, you know, we took a picture together with our red lipstick, and I was like, we look like we're, like, best friends. And, like, we, like, hang out. We'll go on trips together. We'll spend time together. And, you know, when little bickerments or fights or whatever happen, you know, we find ways to move past it. We don't really dwell on it anymore. And so, yeah, I think a lot of the work that we do, you know, really helps us to show up better in our relationships, which can in turn, you know, help change and save maybe our lives. And,
absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, basically, like, when you say to honor people where they're at and not change them, do you have an experience, maybe in the past, where someone has tried to change you, and they needed to really work to honor you where you're at, or vice versa?
I don't want to go into too much of the maternal stuff, but I think family is a big thing, when I think what's really prevalent or common in Black families, especially who end up having, queer babies, it can be a lot of trying to force them into a specific mold or ideal, right? Mm-hmm. An identity. And I pushed back a lot until I basically distanced myself, right? Went and found people who supported me, who honored me, who I could feel comfortable in myself with. So I think that was one of the things. And obviously the older I got, the more as times are changing, have changed, I've been feeling more confident in who I am. And that's something. I don't know if I've ever had, I dated somebody once who was closeted, but that didn't last very long. You know what I mean? Like, that didn't last that long at all, because I was like, that's new, not gonna do that. I think for myself too, something that I've had to learn, to be completely honest, in my relationships, I've had to learn to honor the person I'm dating, right? And not trying to shift them or change them or make them into a person that I think they should be or that I want them to be. Like, I think one of the most beautiful aspects are when two people can come together and totally be in their authenticity, right? And not have to, I guess maybe not have to force another person to think or believe or be the way that they want them to, but seeing them for who they are, yeah, and honoring that, loving that, appreciating it. And if things come up, right, like, that's what life is. We're not all meant to be this homogenous entity, right? Like, there wouldn't be any difference, right? There wouldn't be there just wouldn't be any change, right? If we were all thinking exactly the same. So I think for myself, it's been a lot of me doing that kind of practice and saying, like, how can I allow them just to be? How can I allow them to think? How can I allow that? And I have my stuff, they have their stuff, and I just need to let it go.
Wow, I love the mantra. Can I allow? That's deep. And I wanted to ask you, or I really wanted to say, like, for people that, if you're in a relationship and you're trying to change someone, something that I've noticed, even for me, coming out of a relationship where I went into the relationship, with the idea of, oh my God, I need to like help this person. They're going through this or they're going through that. And like, I'm here to like help people. I'm here to heal people. I'm here to do these things. And I feel like we, as healers, especially, sometimes we need to take a step back and look into who we're bringing into our lives in such a deep and meaningful way. And if it's someone who we feel, like they can be different from us, but if there's someone that we automatically from the get-go we see and we're like, this person needs help, or if you're like looking for like a blank canvas to paint on, don't look for a person. Maybe go get a pet or something. And
or canvas.
Or a canvas. Please go get a canvas. Or a plant. You can get a plant and you can take your plant and you can put string around the plant. You can have it grow into different ways that you want it to. But when it comes to another person, you can't really change people. You can't at all. Like, you can have an influence on people, but to try to change them, it's just going to put you in this place where you become drained, because they're not going to change based on your demands and based on your needs. They're going to change based on their own needs and their own demands and based on, the things that they want to do in their life. And so I think to, again, honor our future selves, at least something that I've been learning recently too, is like, you don't have to be in a relationship with someone just because they need your help. I think that is a trait that we might have seen, like in the past, or maybe our parents might have been doing that, or maybe a figure in your life. But again, like, if someone needs your help, you know, you can help them out with, like, maybe your practice, bring them to a yoga class, whatever. But I think that, you know, finding someone that can meet you, again, like, spiritually or on that, like, just on your consciousness level, I think that's super important when it comes to relationships. Just because, you know, it takes a lot of work, I think, to step into your power as, like, a spiritual person and to be open to that. And we become really sensitive the deeper we go into our spirituality, I believe, at least. And so I think that it takes, you know, looking into who am I bringing into my life, whether it's a sexual or even a friendship, you know, like, who am I bringing into my life in this deep and meaningful way? Or maybe should I take a step back? And you can have acquaintances, you can have different levels of, you know, I think, attachments with people. But for deep ones, I think it's important to kind of save those for the people who, you know, are doing the work alongside you or that are going to help you to, you know, elevate or at least help you to, you know, continue to do the work that you need to do here.
Yeah, I think that's a really pivotal kind of, like, distinction, I think, you know, whenever you think, but not even just relationships, right? It's like, if you're going to have any kind of connection with somebody, like, be it a friend or the people that you work with, when I work with clients, you know, this is why I have intake calls, so that I can gauge, right? Like, is this the energy that I want to bring into my space? Are our energies going to match each other? Are they going to sync up? Mm-hmm. And I think when you are really in a close connection with somebody, if they don't support you, or if they're not, I don't know, I guess it depends on what your values are, right? And, like, mm-hmm. What they're doing, you know, how are they living? Because for me, I know that my practice might be a little more, but it's going to be different than somebody else's, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that at the end of the day, our values are aligned in a similar way, or, you know, we can see eye to eye on the important things, and that I'm not going to feel caged in because I change a lot, you know, I shift a lot, and I need somebody who can allow that. I guess that's going to be a thing, but somebody who can support that, somebody who can be there and go with the flow, right? And say, like, okay, you go ahead and be your own weird self, you know.
They say that the only constant is change, and I believe that. I really believe that. Yeah, we just got real deep. So I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you some more about, like, again, what you're offering to the community, to the world. How do people find you? Like, what if you want to share some of your IG stuff right now, or, like, how can we connect with you? Is there, like, more things on YouTube, etc.?
Yeah, you know, the easiest and quickest way to find me, I'm most active on Instagram. So, like, any kind of DMs, I'm always answering. I will always answer. And I am beginning to, so next year I'm coming up with a few workshops on, you know, money mindset and magnetism and things like that.
Sorry.
I'll be doing some workshops on money mindset, on self-love, and just really trying to expand in that way for BIPOC, you know, POC, like, queer, all the fam, right? Like, I really just want to bring people together and let them know that there are others just like them who are expanding, who are thinking about spirituality or not, or, you know, if they're curious about it. This is going to be a really good space. And so as I think about bringing community together, that's something that I'm going to be doing. YouTube is definitely up, but I think this is something we had mentioned to, you know, before talking about this. It's like, it can be really hard to be consistent. One of my goals is to get back into YouTube, but I'm also on TikTok. So I'm really on, I'm on TikTok and building that. So you can find me in Terrell Cherry. And, yeah, all the things, if you just type in my name, I'm pretty searchable and, findable. So, yeah.
And listeners, that is Terrell, T-I-R-E-L-L.
So and then T-I, yep, T-I-R-R-E-L-L.
Oh, whoops, I missed an R, my bad. So T-I-R-R-E-L-L, and then Cherry, C-H-E-R-R-Y. I like the repeating R's.
So many R's.
I wonder if repeating letters in the name means something.
I mean, I literally just had that thought, like, in my mind when you said that. I was like, I made a mental note to, like, look into that just to see.
Some alphabet mysticism.
I mean, I know it's out there. I guarantee you, if I Google it, it's going to come up. But, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's how we can find you on the stuff and on all the gram. Yeah, I love following you on the gram. Y'all, you should definitely follow them on the gram just for like daily inspiration. You know, you might just be scrolling and then you'll see Terrell's post and it's just super. And you put so much energy into your reels too, and I love seeing them progress over time. And those things are hard to make, you know. And
oh my goodness, it is. It is like, I don't know, for anybody who is trying to really expand or level up, and like, it's one of those things where I feel it every single day. I'm just like, oh, this is, it's not easy, you know? And I guess specifically within the niche, right? Like, I'm not dancing or anything like that, but really trying to like edit and make it digestible. It can be, it's a struggle, but I think that's also like the challenge that I'm in right now. It's like, what am I setting myself up for right now by really pushing through and continuing? Consistency is something that I think is going to be my word for the year, for 2022, consistent, consistency. I think that's going to be something that I really, really pound down, because consistency is key, right? Like, when you think about shifting your mindset, it's repetition and being consistent with it, because it's not always going to happen. It's never going to happen in one swoop. When you're learning how to meditate, when you're doing yoga, when you're building any kind of new practice, being consistent is the way to go. So that's going to be my 2022.
I love that. Consistency 2022, and also holding space, I think, is important for when, you know, you fall off a little bit from your consistency, and just understanding that, like, there are a lot of levels to this shit. You know, there's a lot. You might see, like, Beyonce, she takes a break from making music. You know, you see Rihanna, she took a break. You know, they're focused on other things. Sometimes you have to focus sometimes on something else to get yourself back to that place where you're ready to perform again, you know. And I think it's important to, you know, yes, be consistent. And also it's important, like, if you fall off from your consistency for a little bit, you know, acknowledge that, hold space for it, but don't, like, harbor it and don't talk down on yourself, because it's hard out here, and capitalism is very oppressive, you know. And, rest is also something that we need to add to our consistency schedule, you know, so I think that we don't burn out. Like, how can I consistently also make sure I get rest? Or how can I make sure that I'm consistently, you know, because doing yoga and meditation is work. It might feel like restful at times, but it's still work. Spiritual work is still work. And sometimes you need to take a break from that too and just like chill out and just be a human for a moment. You know, that's something I've been embodying this year, is like, how can I just be a human?
I love that. I love that. How can I just be? You know, I think that's the thing, right? Like, one of the tools that I really love to utilize is the non-self-judgment, right? Not judging yourself too much, but also being real with yourself. And so when I talk about me and my consistency, it's, you know, from the lens of wanting to elevate, right? Wanting to take it to that next step. And so, that's kind of where I'm coming from. But yeah, if you're like, hammering it out and you're doing the thing and you feel like you need to rest, like rest, you know, don't, I agree too that capitalism has like wrecked us mentally into thinking that productivity is value, right? Like, It's not. It's not. You are valuable just because, you know, like you, if you can go out there and like put your face in the sky, that makes you valuable. So.
Yeah. Don't trade your happiness for money because, you know, we can only buy so much things, but, you know, I feel like, again, honoring our soul, like we're saying now, is like super important too. Absolutely. Feeling good and getting to that place where we can be, you know, because when we're living in the past or in the future, we're not being, we're going crazy.
That is so real.
How can we check in with that? And, you know, we can, how can we stop that, in its tracks? And, you know, what practices can we bring in? And so, Sorrel, I want to thank you so much for, you know, being on the podcast and helping us with our relaunch as we get back into our consistent episodes, as we were talking about consistency and, you know, getting this message out there. This podcast is super important to me. And I think also to a lot of these other listeners out there, just because we have a need as a human, as human beings, you know, for like models, for icons, for people to look up to, you know, and I love having this podcast because it helps us to, you know, see that there's someone out there like us that's doing the work that feels similar to us or whatever, you know, and we have someone to relate to and we have something that can help us to push forward and push back through the barriers of, you know, capitalism and the things that hold us back and to really shine our light and to be our true selves. So I thank you for being part of it with me.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, I'm so glad we got to connect because this is, it's been, you know, it's been really, really vital for me and my own space to connect with more like minds and similar bodies and to really just talk about this. So I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And y'all, thank you for listening to the podcast and for being a part of this community. And we'll see you later. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of QT Poc Talks. Our podcast would really be nothing without you, and I just want to thank you again for being a part of this beautiful community. If you'd like to support our podcast and our mission, please visit adventureswithowl.com/QT Poc Talks. That's adventureswithowl.com/QT Poc Talks. Thank you so much.